You're listening to Uprising, the Rebuilt Next Gen podcast. Serving kids and students isn't easy, and you don't have much time. That's why this is a car ride's worth of content to help you reimagine, revive, and rebuild next gen ministry.
Welcome to Uprising. I am Allie, your host. I'm joined by Daniel. Today, we are in episode 5 of our series, What Are We Doing Now? And this episode is going to jump into confirmation at Nativity. Daniel and I have been a part of our confirmation team for the last 6 years. So we're going to speak a little bit about this sacrament that we love so much. Right, Daniel?
6 years of bliss and joy together over confirmation. Yes.
Yes. Well, other than confirmation and 6 years of working with me, what are you loving today?
Well, certainly loved all 6 years of confirmation working with you, Allie. I've been reading a book, and this is the second time that I've read it. It's historical fiction, which I don't read a lot of, but I like it. It's called Hotel on the Corner of Bitter and Sweet. And I like it in part because it takes place in Seattle, which is where I went to school. So it's kind of cool when it takes place and you know all the areas and the neighborhoods and the streets and everything. But it's two different stories that are, they go back and forth between. One is 1942, I think, initially, and then it moves up and it ends in like 1945, but it's World War II.
Oh, wow.
And this Chinese boy who's 11, 12, 13 years old meets and kind of falls in love with this girl who's the same age, who's Japanese. She goes to an internment camp because of everything that's happening in World War II. And then it skips forward. The other story is in 1986, and this Chinese boy has grown, had a whole life, gotten married, had a son, and his wife passed away. And then he's thinking back on this childhood love that he had and thinking about, and his son is part of it too, trying to reconnect with her. And it's really cool. So it's all the stuff that happened during World War II in Seattle, and then
historical undertones, but a little romance. I like it. That sounds good. I might have to check that out. What I am loving right now, I don't know if you've done this before, Daniel, but I am going through the Bible in a Year podcast through Ascension with Father Mike Schmidt, and I love it. It's just such a great way to start your morning. I love listening to podcasts. Ironic that we have one together because I love them so much.
And you got the long commute for it now?
Yes, exactly. So it's really nice way to start your day. I love him and his insight. It's just a new way to take in God's word and really reflect on it. So that's what I'm loving right now.
Nice. Yeah, he is very insightful.
Yes. Well, we are jumping in to our episode, this car ride's worth of content, all about the sacrament of confirmation. And Daniel and I were just speaking before this, you know, this sacrament really doesn't have a theology to it, is the way that you put it. It's a sacrament without a theology, where people receive the sacrament at all different ages. It's different in different dioceses and things like that. It can be in eighth grade or ninth grade, and all of the differences in across the way people do the sacrament means that our programs look a lot different. So we are going to talk a little bit about what our program looks like, what our goal of confirmation is here at Nativity with our students, and what that looks like to us.
Yep, we're going to solve all of the problems as we always do here at Uprising. We actually have this conversation. This is why I think that term sacrament without a theology is really relevant to what we're talking about. In our Archdiocese of Baltimore, there's a new pilot program to do confirmation at the age of 9. And there's other dioceses that have it at the age of reason, which is age 7, or the restored order is to do it with your first communion. That's what kind of the Latin rite, the Western churches do. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, they do it with baptism. So it's really, I'm so different how you would present it and what the sacrament means based on what age you're doing it. It's not a coming of age sacrament, but when we do it in high school, like we have here at Nativity currently, who knows if this pilot program is going to stick. It is a coming of age, because how else are you going to present it to 14, 15, 16 year olds? So confirmation in our area, and I think for probably most listeners, most dioceses in the U.S., Confirmation is still the largest feeder that we have mm-hmm. into our youth ministry program. It gives us a touch point with teenagers that have probably been away or not super active at their parish. And even though that can be frustrating that we get them for this moment in their lives, it's still an opportunity. And it's a fair question to say, would the end of confirmation at that age be the death of Catholic youth ministry?
Throwing out the big questions.
And I don't know, but it is something that we've talked about mm-hmm. a lot in our context here at Nativity and in just the larger youth ministry area discussions on confirmation lately.
Yeah, and so as Daniel said, you may do it differently than we do it here at Nativity, whatever confirmation looks like. Fundamentally, it's all the same, though. It is a gift, confirmation. We are preparing teens to receive God's grace and blessing and presence and favor, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So confirmation prep really is about how to be a good gift receiver.
Yeah, and it's creating an awareness of that gift. Mm-hmm. It sounds funny to talk about it like that. I mean, it's not hard to receive a gift, right? When a gift is given to you,
yeah.
birthday gift
it
or whatever.
It shouldn't be, right? Yes.
It's not a skill that we talk about mm-hmm. very often, but it is in this case, it's a little bit more of an abstract gift. Is mm-hmm. that fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Holy Spirit being stirred up within you. And as Christians, we're given that Holy Spirit at baptism, but it's not necessarily given its full life and breadth in your life. Mm-hmm. And so I just said life twice in the same sentence, but the idea being like, you have to know what that gift is and be able to receive it and what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotta be useful in some way. So as we help teens understand that to be Christian, that word means to be anointed. And that's where this idea of confirmation comes from. That's what we do. We anoint with chrism oil to unite us to Christ and to our baptism. And so we want to just help them to be aware of all of the connections that are made and kind of completed in the sacraments of initiation in this moment of confirmation. So it's how to be that good gift receiver.
Mm-hmm. And even though it is such a beautiful gift, it still comes with its challenges, as I'm sure you also feel in your own parishes. So we're just going to kind of share a little bit about some of those that we feel here. We're sure that you do as well. You know, the challenge of cultural Catholics. They come in at ninth grade. They want to make their confirmation. How do I sign up for the classes? Usually it's the parents being the ones seeking this information, pushing their child to get confirmed because they just, it's what you do, right? In ninth grade. But that's
cultural
the
Catholic.
Cultural yep. mindset of it. Being away from church, as Daniel had mentioned, a lot of times the sacrament is a way for people to re-engage or even engage for the first time with the church. So they kind of have a lack of that faith foundation if they haven't been a part of your programs or even just celebrating Mass consistently over the past few years. There's an expiration date on participation. You know, we talk about this in all of our planning through trying to build those relationships within their small groups. We only have a lot of these students for a year because they're coming in to check that box of receiving the sacrament. So we have 1 year to capture their hearts for Christ and catch them up theologically. And that is hard to do. Another challenge, I said it once, I'll say it again, the parents can be a big challenge. They're the ones spearheading this. They're asking their kids to do it. They might be forcing them to do it and come and show up. So it's the students that don't really have a lot of interest in the sacrament. They don't really care, as sad as it is to say. And that goes back to making the challenge of trying to capture their hearts for Christ even more difficult because they're probably a little resistant to it, not that interested in it. Another big challenge that we have is a big number and a big influx in ninth grade, which is great, but then we'll see a significant drop off every year after that. We don't, once they've received the sacrament, a lot of the students don't continue on. Small groups get smaller. We need less. We have less leaders and things like that year after year. And then again, apathy, not outright aggression or disagreement, just not really caring at all and trying to spark and ignite in these students more passion and interest for the sacrament and what they're pursuing and what it really means to them.
So the spoiler here is we're not going to solve all these challenges for you in the 15 or so minutes that we have today. But that's kind of the scene. And hopefully those challenges are from, well, not hopefully. Those challenges are probably familiar to you.
Yes.
They're not hopeful challenges, but they give us an opportunity still. So we're just going to talk briefly about what the catechism says the effects of this sacrament should be and what our simple strategy is. And we say it's simple, but that does not mean that it's easy. We just have decided we're going to really focus on one thing in particular. And that's kind of our strategy for confirmation. So that's how we'll finish our program today. So first, let me just go briefly into what the effects of confirmation are. So this is straight from the catechism. Confirmation brings an increase and a deepening of baptismal grace. So it's that connection to baptism. It completes the grace that you receive at baptism. What's given to you at baptism is stirred up. So it roots us more deeply in the divine filiation, which makes us cry, Abba, Father. All of our confirmation students cry Abba Father constantly. So if your students aren't doing that, I'm not sure what's wrong. But no, that's something, right? I'll explain that a little bit more in a second. But it unites us to the Father. That's the big thing. It unites us more firmly to Christ. It increases the gifts of the Holy Spirit in us. It renders our bond with the church more perfect. It gives us a special strength of the Holy Spirit to spread and defend the faith by word and action as true witnesses of Christ, to confess the name of Christ boldly and never to be ashamed of the cross. So just to boil that down, connection to the Father, unite with Christ, recognize and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, bond with the church, and be strengthened and emboldened to live the faith. That's all we got to do in confirmation.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Right? Now, how do we practically do that? Connect teens with each person of the Trinity, connect where they've previously been unconnected at church, and strengthen their faith to withstand all life has to offer. We've boiled our strategy down to one thing. To come up with the simplest strategy that we could, we asked ourselves this question. If our teens walked away with nothing else from confirmation, it would be a success if they what? What links all these thoughts from the catechism together and is meaningful for our teens of every generation? And our answer was relationships. Relationships with peers, with caring adult leaders, with staff, with priests, with family, the church, and ultimately with God. With the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So everything we do is geared towards building those interpersonal relationships that point to the ultimate relationship with their Maker.
Yeah, our friends at Orange often say something to this effect. Sometimes before a young person can know an immaterial God, they need to know a material person, a person that's right in front of them who shows them what it means to know God. Mm-hmm. That person is a gateway to understanding a little bit of God's character, who God is. So briefly, here's what we do in confirmation. We're going to go into much deeper thought on this in a future episode this season when we get into our sacraments in more detail. So the first thing that we talk about is we have two basic truths that we want our students to walk away with. Number one is I want a relationship with Jesus. Number two, the Holy Spirit is God alive in others and in me. So it's deepening that connection with Jesus and the Holy Spirit being God alive in others and me in the world. And from those basic truths, we try to connect them with leaders, with parents, with sponsors, peers, church, with the Holy Spirit, with Christ, because we want all of those relationships. It takes a lot of investment, relational capital into your teens. So you have to show them as many people as possible that think this is important, will help them to live it. And we try to demonstrate that throughout this process with their sponsor and having different nights with their sponsor. So just to give you a quick idea of what we do event-wise, it's all relationally based. So Uprising, which we'll talk about in an episode upcoming, is our small group-based program for our high schoolers. And all about relationships. You're with the same group throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, if it works the way we really want it to, you're with the same group for multiple years. Mm-hmm. And you're just with them week to week. We take them on a retreat where we do all kinds of things to build those friendships and relationships. We send them on an Emmaus walk with a partner that they don't know and a bunch of questions and some candy. That's it. And they go talk for 45 minutes or an hour, get to know somebody new. They're in small groups constantly throughout the retreat. We really plan strategically how those groups look, how they're praying together, what games they're playing. They eventually lay hands over each person in the group and pray over them. They receive Polanka letters, encouragement letters from people in their life. They have this personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. And then we've done mass with our parish the last couple of years too, to connect back to our church. We have Spark Nights. These are done over Zoom with their sponsor throughout the year. And the focus is the Holy Spirit and the Sacrament of Confirmation, learning what those things are and why it's important in this time in their life to be learning these things. And then at the end of their confirmation year, they write a letter to the bishop that's connection to the larger church. And then we try to make this big push that after confirmation, there's an invitation for you to stay connected, to be part of Uprising, to join our student leadership team, just to do some of those things to take your next steps in faith. So all that is really our work toward building those relationships that help them to a relationship with their Heavenly Father.
Yep. And that wraps up this episode for today on confirmation. We will leave you with one bright idea, which is to read over the catechism. You can start paragraph 1285 and just refresh the point of the sacrament. Say, take some time to read over that and reflect for yourself, for your own students and parish, and what you want the point of confirmation to be, what the true point is. Next episode, we will be talking about what keeps middle schoolers coming back for more. So join us then. Thanks for joining us for today's Car Rides worth of content. We love you very much.